So, today was a good day. Yesterday was a good day, too. Yesterday I brought the, Specialized 415 Fat Boy to the, skate park and tried to ride bowl in a vert bike. 45-pound behemoth from the past. It was, quite heavy, I'll tell you that right there. 45-pound bike plus 165-pound me. Combination is pretty substantially large with the 210 pounds potential crash. But yeah, so there was a lot of risk involved yesterday, and I rode it, conservatively. I tried pushing it a couple times, and it quickly escalated into me not wanting to push it because the bike responded in a way that long rear ends tend to. Now, if you don't understand the geometry of a vert bike, the easiest way to explain it is it's the separation between a dirt jumper and a mid-school street park bike. Street park bike, mid-school, meaning 6 foot plus obstacles. Not like you believe in street parks today, which basically they're all scooter parks and people call them street parks. No, that's not a street park. So today I took the King Contender, and I got a little bit better geo on that, but that's more of a tech park bike. Tech park meaning modern skate parks, meaning scooter slash skateboard fucking novice parks filled with death obstacles and shit. So you can do like slow tech on. AKA, I don't need brakes because I'm only doing 15 miles an hour. Yeah, never gonna send it that speed kind of bullshit. I got brakes on mine, though. I call them eject levers. Some would call them pussy levers, but, I'm an old guy. I want to actually be able to pull out instead of going deep into a fucking situation that I can't get out of potentially or land. If you don't feel it, don't fucking push it, as I always like to say. Because all you gotta do is basically be mentally committed to completing a trick or an obstacle. But if your body's not there with your mind and the mindset to complete, your body's gonna be basically going, "Nah, fuck you. I ain't gonna fucking, help you out in this situation. Let's act like a rag doll. Hope you laugh when you land on the ground." I always laugh when I hit the ground. It's like basically, not to digress onto that, but I think the reason why some of us do laugh when we crash is because of the fact that, if you're really a mid-school rider or somebody that's actually dedicated to actually trying to maintain or progress your skills, or you're just an aggressive practicer and stuff, when we hit the ground from a crash, there is initially a huge spike of adrenaline. And the younger guys got an advantage because of the fact that huge spike of adrenaline usually kicks off before you even start ejecting off of the bike. Not us old guys. Us old guys just basically ride the ship all the way into the ground. It sucks. But when you're young, you get this shot of adrenaline, and then you get the fight or flight syndrome, and then basically you can fucking ditch and be safe about it, and technically your world slows down for a split second. Well, when you get old, that doesn't happen anymore. I've noticed that basically when I crash, shit speeds up. Like, and like, especially if I got the GoPro on and I'm getting into an accident that I'm recording. Like, I don't remember it being that way. I don't remember a freaking, you know, like there was this one time at the Bull, like, I think it was about a month ago. And I was going and transferring from the large bowl into the small bowl, which you had to go over this little pier, it's like a triangle shark tooth that separates the two. And then directly in between the two, there is a spine. And I wasn't trying to jump the spine. I'm not really good at spines, because I'm not good at, like, twisting my body and landing properly. I should practice that more often, but I've always been scared of spines ever since mid-school days, because alls we had back then was double cop fucking 6-foot spines, and they technically went damn near vert, so you really fucking had to, like, get some fucking steam on you and at least get 2 to 3 feet of air, and then, you know, step the front back down and then land cockeyed to fucking land it if you weren't gonna fucking roll a trick. I never got that great. Like, basically, I was always a vert kid. I played on half pipes. That was all I'd like to do. And if the half pipe was loaded with skateboarders, I'd go and play in the quote-unquote mid-school street park with the 6 to 8 foot obstacles. Now, there was things there that I did like I said in the previous fucking talk, the vert boxes, which basically is a quarter pipe, and the quarter pipe is like usually 4 to 5 feet tall, has like a 1.5 foot deck, and then behind that deck, 4 feet up from that, is another deck. Some people would call it a vert box, but yeah, like, when I'm seeing people on, like, Instagram and shit like that, and they're posting videos of their local skate parks, and if they got one, dude, I get really jazzed up, because, that's one feature that I really, truly miss. And if I gotta fucking fly across the fucking world to go to the UK, because it seems like that's the only place that you can actually find them anymore, so be it. I'll pack my fucking bike up in a fucking non-carry-on and fucking, you know, go out there with a couple of shirts and pants and call it a fucking day just to go ride that shit. Hey, I got fucking damn near about, I don't know, 47,000 flight miles that I can use at any given time, thanks to fucking spending all this money during COVID and not going on trips. But that's another story. Anyways, so, getting back to it, we're talking about riding the bowl with the King Contender. King Contender is actually a halfway decent bowl carving bike. The only problem, though, is wall rides and vert it does not like. The rear end likes to cut loose, so to say. That's the reason why I run nothing but them Odyssey Brock tires. I've been trying to, like, find some 225 Path Pros to try those, but they're pretty much going to be like the Brocks, I do believe. The Brocks actually got a better pattern on them, if you ask me, but I do want to try the Path Pros for Flatland on the one bike, because I do want to get the they got the rare ass Cult Vans checkers on it right now, which is kind of cool, because they got a reflective checkered pattern on the sidewall. Really, really cool tire. Stupid rare, apparently. I'm not a big fan of the Cult tires. I love their pegs. I love Cult pegs. Like, if you want to go and buy yourself some pussy-ass PVC pegs, them Cult milk fucking whatever they're called, That's a great pack. Let me close this thing up. Yo, man, let me tell you what. The best goddamn sound studio you can have is your car. Just open up the windows and, you know, you might have some stuff out in the background and stuff. It doesn't have to be quiet. I'm no fucking professional podcaster or anything, but I figured I'd try it out. And I've been getting good results with, you know, doing the podcast from inside the car versus doing it inside the house. Inside the house, you're going to have more echoes and stuff like that. Outside, you have less prone ability for, you know, echoes and stuff. Unless you're doing a podcast in a fucking canyon of a mountain. But it is what it is. So, now that I'm not distracted, I'm gonna probably be going to Glacier National Park this coming week. Hopefully I don't. I know. Like, going on vacations is supposed to be fun and everything. I'm not really an outdoorsy kind of guy anymore. I grew up fucking with my parents taking me outdoors all the time. We camped all over the fucking place. They had rendezvous and, you know, fucking, you know, basically tent camping, man. Best goddamn outdoors experiences ever. Road biking, aka, you know, motorcycles with tents on the back of them, you know what I'm saying? Fucking just barely enough gear to fucking actually get through tonight. I had all that shit when I was a kid. I don't really give a fuck about it later on in life. All I want to do is do my thing. My thing is riding. I really do want to go ride a bike more than go on this stupid ass vacation. I mean, the vacation that I had at the beginning of this month, aka going to San Diego, that was more of a vacation than me going to this Glacier National Park. I'll tell you that. So, and this is another good thing about doing a podcast in your car. You can smoke cigarettes. It's great. Well, you know, I'm a refined individual. I don't smoke inside my house. No, can't do that. This is not a, it's not a really polite thing to do. Get it all over the fucking place. You don't want that shit all over inside your house. Makes your house smell weird, too. But, yeah, the reason why I basically, like, I bring up the Glacier National Park is because of the fact that basically I work at a hospital. So, when it comes down to it, I only work, like, 3 days a week. So, I work 12s. Technically, 36 hours at a hospital, working 12-hour shift, that's technically full-time. So, I get all the benefits a full-time person gets. Four less hours. It's great. Excellent, I'm telling you. And, I'm telling you, go get your medical degree. You know, all you gotta do is be a CNA, man. You get all these fucking benefits. You ain't gonna make a lot of money the first couple years, but, you know, first step of being a nurse, and you know, once you become a nurse, you can make bank. Like, over time, getting paid about $70-something an hour. Yeah. It's good money. But, yeah, I digress. So, reason why I bring it up is because of the fact that basically, this, Northwest is going through all these fires right now. And, in Glacier National Park, they got some fires going on down there as well. Now, I don't want to be going all the way down to Glacier National Park and actually, you know, find out the park is closed because they got a couple fucking bonfires going somewhere, you know, and it's unsafe for, you know, tourist season. You know, fucking, it'd be a waste of drive. I'm going to have 9 days off. I pre-planned this for like 2 months now. So basically, like, when it came down to this particular fucking week, I had everything spaced out so that I get to maximize my my days off. And this is maximized. So if Glacier National Park doesn't work out, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'll probably, like, basically just load up the Flatland bike and put it on the back of the car and go on a tour looking for some flat spots to go and practice more. Because I got that goddamn day coming up with Dave Norrie. That name should ring a bell. If it don't, you're not real BMX. Sorry. One of the original guys from Haro, pretty much. Back in the original BMX Plus days. Back when all the damn bikes looked all the same, pretty much. Except for the down tube. But yeah. If I'm not mistaken, when Haro would show their sponsored riders, it would come up as like a Brady Bunch fucking thing. It would be basically they'd you know, it would just basically show all their faces and stuff. And I do believe Dave Norrie, back in the early to mid 80s, he was the youngest guy on the team. He was like a kid. So that's Dave Norrie. Dave Norrie now is about a couple years older than me. He was a teenager when I was like fucking, you know, like I wasn't even a teen yet. So got a couple years on me. He's still doing it. I got to go and do a session with him. Sorry. And he is going to show me the fundamentals that I am overlooking in Flatland. Because, like, I reached out to him. I've been a vert rider all my life. And I can't get into this park scene because these modern kids have destroyed parks. So, you know, unless you got like fucking big balls and thick skin and strong bones, you can't really ride these modern parks because they're all concrete and they're all tiny obstacles. And as I always preach to everybody, the tiny obstacles are the ones that are going to kill you. It ain't the fucking big ones. The big ones don't stop you. You just keep on going through them and you come to a halt gently. These little tiny ones, man, you just stop. Or you biff and you just come down on a fucking ledge or something like that and fucking crack a couple ribs. And everybody's just scratching their heads because of the fact that how the hell did it just happen? Like, yeah, they're not forgiven. These modern parks just suck. But so I reached out to him, like I said, and hold on, I gotta yawn again. Here we go. Yeah, this is a professional podcast, I'm telling you right now. So I reached out to him and I explained my endeavors and everything and explained to him that basically I drove 20 hours to pick this particular Flatland bike up and I really want to take it to the next level, even though I only got balance on one ear. And, you know, Dave Norrie was like real cool about it. And he basically told me the next gig that he's doing. And it's not close, but it's a quarter day's drive. So it's kind of close. I just got to drive on the other side of Washington to Seattle and do a meet up there. And it's close enough that, God damn it, I got to drink more coffee. And I got a beer on the side too, ready to go. It's 1 a.m. Don't judge me. So, yeah, he's pretty optimistic about it. I feel I am too. I really do want to actually, my main goal is to do a lawnmower and then basically lift bike up into decade. If I can do a lawnmower into decade combo, I'll be hit. Cause a lawnmower is a basic bitch trick, but to combo anything together is serious. And decades, they're level up from a basic bitch trick. So basically, I'm putting two tricks that are kind of easy together, but the thing that separates a flatlander from a freestyler is a freestyle person will do one trick and then just basically, you know, try and get acknowledged by other people. Be like, look what I did. A flatlander is actually going to try and connect tricks together. That's the big difference between a flatlander and a fucking freestyler. Freestyle put his foot down after. Flatlander can't do that. They're allowed one foot plant throughout the whole fucking goddamn event, and that's the whole deal. You're not allowed to put your foot down unless for particular fucking reasons, or you're going to get points deducted. Not saying I'm ever going to do this professionally, but the thing about it is like I tell everybody else, on an outsider looking in, flatland is actually pretty goddamn easy as long as you give it dedication for a year and a half. After you've been riding nonstop fucking flatland for a year and a half, putting your practice in every single fucking day, like, you know, it's like some sort of karate thing. Fucking after a year and a half, you'll get pretty goddamn good at it. You won't become pro, but you'll turn fucking heads, especially if you can get yourself up to at least a fucking 5 combo. Or if you want to be one of them guys, you can start doing them, you know, high speed fucking, they hop up onto the back wheel and then basically just like lift the front tire up and they start spinning around and shit. You know, that's kind of cool too, but you got to be able to do tricks as well. Because, you know, spins are all right and everything, but spins don't win contests. And I don't got balance for it either. Hence the reason why basically, like, some of the flatland shit scares the shit out of me. Because I know that basically I can get there, get my threshold, but I know basically at the end of the day, if I push myself a little bit too hard, I'm gonna fucking go beyond my fucking control point, and I'm gonna get ejected. And the one thing that I always say about flatland, yeah, they're only doing 15 miles an hour top speed, but if they're doing spin tricks, they can get an inertia going as if they were doing like 30, if not 45. And when they get ejected, it's fucking nasty. So anybody that wants to talk shit about vert or flatland, they don't know shit about the two. And they want to talk and say that different forms of fucking BMX are more crazier than those two forms, they don't know shit about the two. Vert is fucking nasty. Vert, you can basically end your fucking career over one bad day, just like I did. Flatland, same fucking situation. You do a cherry picker wrong, you're gonna come down entangled in a bike standing straight up, and there ain't no way for you to stop the momentum from your fucking face hitting the ground. That's hardcore. There's no way for you to jump off of that bike without getting entangled and potentially breaking a bone, or, you know, best case scenario, you're gonna sprain something. But at the end of the day, flatland, you're almost guaranteed to get hurt doing it. And it's a sacrifice that basically every flatlander out there that'll fucking do it. And they'll actually explain it to you that basically, yeah, flatland is a fucking dangerous sport. But most of the pros, they've been doing it for so long, they don't think it's a dangerous sport because they're used to the fucking body chemistry and body fucking, like, muscle memory and shit to do it, and the balance points, and they got it all in check, and their bike is dialed in from, like, 3 years ago. They haven't touched shit. you know, other than, like, you know, occasionally change out a tire or something like that. Because majority of Flatlanders, the only thing that they're worried about is brake pads and rubber. And a lot of modern Flatland people don't even use brakes. So it's, like, basically the only thing they got to worry about is pretty much tires. Some like to be able to roll fast, so they occasionally, like, replace bearings and stuff like that in their wheels. But other than that, like, basically... Yeah, it's the only thing you gotta do is just technically replace tires. And it ain't like they're worn out. It's just basically, you know, over time tires just get, you know, tired and you don't have the grip anymore. And you can only, you know, put Simple Green on them so many times before basically the compound of the rubber starts to fucking disintegrate and it no longer wants to grip the surface. But I digress. What the fuck was I talking about? So that being all said and done and everything, hopefully my adventures with Dave Norrie are gonna be pretty goddamn cool. I do plan on doing Woodward probably in the next 2 months. I gotta make a couple phone calls about that, because of the fact that basically I was only a professional in B3. I wasn't a professional in X Games. I was a semi-pro. So at the end of the day, them fucking idiots over at Woodward don't fucking think that I'm have the potential of training kids. No, I get it. That's how you get in. Is they want you to be there for love and support for all the people that are spending thousands of dollars to be there over a weekend. I get it. I can respect that. But all I want to do is just ride that big ass vert. Hey, it's indoor. There's no air. Well, there's air, but there's no wind. I mean, you know, you go up, you go down. There's no cross breeze or anything like a outdoor vert. Outdoor verts are scary as fuck. That's how I ended my career. And, you know, when it comes down to it, basically, vert riding, you're on top of the world for so long until you basically come down from 8 foot of fucking air over a deck and case your rear tire, and then you're going over the bars. Even Matt Hoffman basically said that, you know, like, it's one of the scariest things. You can do all sorts of stupid ass tricks in that air as long as you're basically tucking your tire in. But it just takes one time for you to be 8 feet over the deck, 4 feet over the deck's rail, aka the wall that's on the backside of the deck facing the outside of the fucking half pipe, that you're now in a cross breeze area. It takes just, you know, 5-10 mile an hour winds, and it's gonna push you over that damn deck or push you away, and either way it's not gonna be good. Push you away, you're gonna land closer to the stage, and you're gonna land hard, and you're gonna lose half of your speed, and you might hurt your feet because of the fact that basically you're dropping out of the sky 13 to 14 feet onto the transition. The other thing is getting blown over to the deck and coming down and abruptly, like, casing the fucking rear tire. It stops the bike. There's nothing recovering from that. You can tuck as much as you want, but if you freaking tuck maxed out and you're still coming down and you're casing that tire, and you didn't eject because you thought you had it, like I did, yeah. Ding, ding, knockout. And hopefully that's the worst case scenario. Because, yeah, gets even worse than that. Guess what? You're getting ejected over the transition. You're landing on the stage. It's mean. It's hard. as I said, fucking flatland and vert. Those are the two forms you got to have mad respect for. I don't consider big air anything part of biking because of the fact that basically big air is, that's plainly just retarded. That did X Games as long as rollerblades did X Games. They got to the point where basically even Woodwork knocked down their fucking big air ramp. So they were just like, yeah, this is stupid. Like, you know, there's a high possibility of fucking crosswinding yourself. And again, it's the same concept as fucking vert. But on big air, it's big air. You're not now 8 feet over the deck. You're, you know, in the teens, if not 20. I think some guys get up to 18, but I do believe, like, they got up to 20 before they stopped doing it in the X Games. It's nuts. You're so high up and coming back down that basically at the end of the day, like, you're putting yourself at a huge potential risk of a cross breeze. Like I said, it only takes a couple mile per hour wind to push you over the deck. And your velocity coming down is a lot of inertia. And all that's going to get done is transferred into a fucking boomerang effect and toss you over your fucking bars at Mach 10. The faster you go over your bars, the more stunned you're going to be. So the less prepared you're going to be for the landing. Thank God the big air, the entrance into the fucking quarter pipe is massive. And there was a reason for that, because of the fact that basically they wanted to make the largest transition possible so that basically if you do crash, you're coming down on a transition at least and not landing on a stage from fucking, you know, because it's, I think they're like, they ain't 14 feet. I think most of those big air quarters are like 15, 16 feet tall, if not higher than that. And then you add in your fucking over the deck fucking air, and yeah, that's how far down you're coming. You gotta keep in mind, you're not stopping when you hit the fucking the deck and case. Your body is in inertia mode. You're gonna keep on traveling at that same velocity and speed over your bars. So, yeah, even though you're going to hit the tranny, you might as well be hitting flat because of the fact that basically, you literally just fell out of a three-story building. But I digress again. I'm not really good at this podcast shit. Sorry, I ramble a lot. But it should be good. Playing a foam pit a little bit, maybe. I don't know. I never got to play in foam pits when I was in my mid-school days. We didn't have foam pits. We didn't have the fucking resi ramps. Like these modern riders with no goddamn brakes. It's like the only time that those assholes get the fucking full send shit. Is because, you know, they know that they're going to be safe. But that's it. I mean, I get to try that. I wish they didn't have that goddamn resi all over the fucking halfpipe. I'll tell you that right now. Fucking Olympic-sized halfpipe, and they got literally half of its resi. Fuck, man. I mean, literally, it's a goddamn 13-foot fucking vert ramp. I mean, the halfpipe, and like, it's got the width of a 10-footer. That's all wood. Nah, I get it. I mean, you know, it's nice and everything because you got resi. You can, you know, maybe throw down a flare or something like that if you never threw one down. But I'll tell you what, I ain't fucking going to goddamn Woodward to go throw down no flares. I'm 40 fucking 1 years old, man. I ain't fucking doing that shit. My body ain't made for it. My doctor's not giving me no goddamn GH or TRT because, you know, he's one of them doctors that doesn't understand fucking extreme sports and, you know, how it is an effect on your body after the age of fucking 35. I deal with constant pain now. I'm surprised that I'm not addicted to fucking painkillers like House. I am addicted to Tylenol, I'll tell you that right now. I had a reason why I can't take a shit. Fucking goddamn stomach's all bound up. I can't do tech crap because of the fact that basically 90% of a tech riding is from your core. Remember that, kids. You ain't got a six pack, you ain't gonna do tech. Now, I got a six pack, but underneath that six pack is a fucked up set of intestinal tracts. As my doctor says, full of stool. But as I like to say, full of shit. You get old, you can't process your food anymore. Or when you're 21 years old and you crash on a half pipe, you jostle your internal organs and you enter some kinks into your fucking digestive tract, and yeah, you got a fucking GI problem now for the rest of your life. I'm pretty sure that they can go in there with the LED probe and fix it all. Yeah, that's me grunting as I'm moving around in this chair because my fucking side is killing me. Just like normal. Most people live their life at a 1 to 2 pain tolerance. I live my life every single day at level 6. And the days that I don't fucking do Tylenol and the days that I don't drink enough water, it quickly goes up to a level 9. 10 meaning I gotta call 911 because I don't know what the fuck's happening. Even though I know what the fuck is happening. Just make the pain stop. That's all I ask. So it sucks. I've been contemplating on actually just saying fuck it and going down to the fucking local drugstore and picking up some asthma ephedrine. Because unbeknownst to you guys, yeah, you can still go to your local pharmacy and get that shit over the counter. You literally have to go to the fucking pharmacy though and ask for it and tell them that it's for asthma. Not to say to do that, I'm not telling you fucking how to actually go about it. But that's the legal way of actually getting ephedra. Or ephedrine. But it's technically ephedra. And don't take whole pills of that shit. One pill, all you need to do is fucking cut that bitch in quarters. That's all you need. You can take a whole fucking pill, man, I'll tell you what. Your heart will be racing. What that ephedra is for is basically, the reason why it's still on the market is, it's for asthma. It's so basically, you have your oxygen percentage in your blood, and if your heart races faster than normal, your lungs technically act more. Basically, the blood pressure in your lungs is higher, so basically at the end of the day, you know, the oxygen transfer from your lungs into your blood is a lot more effective. And ephedrine, in a situation where somebody's down to, like, say, 80%, you know, oxygen in the blood level, 100 meaning it's, like, above normal, 95 meaning normal. Nobody's usually, like, walking around town at like, 100. 100 is basically you got a fucking oxygen tank on you. It's the only way to get to 100. But ephedrine basically will allow you to get from, like, 80 to about 95 quite easily. But that's if you take the whole fucking pill. But, however, the other side effect to ephedra is it's basically an insane fat burner. It basically turns up your body's digestive system and allows you to actually process your food at a higher rate. And in turn, basically, it'll increase blood flow to your fucking your intestinal tract, which basically makes your intestinal tract work 10 times better too. However, there is a side effect to this. If you have abnormalities with your digestive system, you probably will start pooping blood, which is not good. But that's the reason why I went to my fucking doctor. It's because of the fact that I wanted to make sure I didn't have any fucking thing wrong with my goddamn gut. He says it's all perfectly fine, so, and he doesn't want to give me a script for anything, so I guess I got to take it in my own hands. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you should go down the same pathway as me if you got an internal fucking situation with your gut that, you know, you're constantly constipated for fucking 3 years. I'm just saying, there's other drugs out there that are far better than fucking taking, like, stool softeners and shit like that. Because at the end of the day, there's money in that gut. Why are you going to get a stool softener? So all of a sudden, now you're just basically going to send an enzyme in there to coat your fucking intestinal tract. And all it's going to do is technically move it a foot down line. Get it going, so to say. And your intestinal tract, the further the food goes down it, the less it's going to actually process the food. So if the shit's all the way down your GI tract because you took stool softeners, you're technically wasting all that money and food. However, if you take fucking ephedrine, if it's stuck up top, instead of putting a fucking stool softener in there, I can pop a fucking quarter tab of fucking ephedra and a shit ton of fucking water, and your body will process what's in there. I'm not trying to give medical advice again. I'm just saying this is the road path that I'm going to go with, and this is my mental status on how I'm going to fucking achieve what the fuck I want to achieve. Because at the end of the day, all I want to do is have body snap again, and I ain't going to have it with a gut that's all fucked up. Don't get me wrong, I'm not fucking fat at all. I got a six pack, but it's a puffy six pack. Fucking silly. Look like one of them semi-retired bodybuilders that's been taking GH for too long. And that's a side effect of GH as well, by the way. Does something to the enzymes in your gut, and basically, like, your body will no longer process food in your gut just as the way I'm dealing with it right now. And no, I've never been on GH, so basically it makes no goddamn sense to me why it's fucking doing what it's doing. But something's broke. And the doc doesn't want to fucking take the time to actually look at the fucking the scans and the fucking x-rays and the blood work to fucking actually figure out what the fuck is shut down in my body. So, might as well fucking try and do a kickstart. Yeah. A little bit of Fedra. Bam. Well, it's either that or I start doing juices. Whoo, shit. Man, I hope that doesn't blow out your speakers. I covered up my mouth, so it just shouldn't have hit the speaker too hard. Well, yeah. It's really weird. Outside got really quiet. Huh. I think this is a perfect time for me to fucking end this podcast and go out and take the Flatland bike out. Maybe, I don't know. I might go upstairs and look at it and be like, meh. But I look at it like this. At the end of the day, I want to basically, with the Flatland bike especially, is other than bull riding, like basically I'm done with fucking park riding. I love that one bull though. That bull is fucking fun. But to get back on the Flatland, I want to achieve 1,000 hours of ride time this year on just dedicated flatland. And now I know there's an app out there that I can do turn on, turn off an add-up timer to actually achieve the measurement of this. I figure after about 1,000 hours of it, I'll get adapted to what little bit of balance I actually have to put down and overcome it, and be able to actually throw down some eye-catchy ass tricks and actually become a flatland rider versus a pansy ass freestyler. Because again, like I said, freestyling is just laying out one trick at a time. Flatland is actually laying out a strategic amount of tricks in a session. But yeah, that being all said, this is the Lamest Ass Podcast by yours truly, Mr. Exxon. I'm signing out. You guys have a good night. So, I guess this is going to be mashed up into the three that I'm going to post. It'll come out as one, but, you know. So, a lot of the people that know me in person know that I went down to, some people online too, but they know that I did a drive down to San Diego from the Northwest, just about a 20-hour drive, and apparently I just found out that I was riding with, I don't want to mess up his name, but it is said Michael, but Michael Lauren. And, I always want to say Mikhail, but yeah, he was on the vert, and, we were both on deck with each other. He's like one of the later, half pipe riders, I would consider. Like, basically, like, he came, like, way after I got out. But it's still impressive that basically, like, you know, people that you run into, you know. I was pretty stoked. He was grabbing like 8 foot of air, and apparently he's just a little bit younger than me. Not as old as me, I should say. We're both old dudes. Now the thing about it is basically if you see a guy on vert, all the young guys are too scared of it. So if you do go to a park that actually has a 10-foot to 14-foot half pipe and you see a guy on there and he's fully padded up, I can guarantee you that son of a gun is like 38 plus. And you'd be surprised. Take off that helmet. He's all gray hair, probably like 52, man. Hoffman, he's in his 50s. No joke, man. That guy is old as shit. I was wondering if I was going to run into anybody that, like, you know, really mattered in BMX history down there. Turns out, like, the majority of us BMX guys, we're just all super cool dudes. I mean, even though he had, like, a camera crew there, like, he was still, like, you know, just, like, one of the dudes. Just had, like, a posse of camera. But, you know, so if you guys pay attention to any of the content he puts out in the next, like, couple days on his social media, if he actually posts some video from the YMCA halfpipe down in San Diego, I'm probably sitting there with my full face on. Maybe. I don't know. If I get in frame. But, you know, just keep an eye open.